Romans chapter 4. Now, once you get there, we will be moving around through other books in the New Testament. I'll tell you where to go here in just a minute, but at least mark your place in Colossians chapter 4 and get ready. We're going to then start here in just a minute in the book of Acts and chapter 20. Yeah, Acts chapter 20 in just a minute. Colossians 4. You got one, Tom? Amen. Colossians 4. There's a man that we're going to look at tonight. He's named in this chapter. As I mentioned to you last week, if you finish verse 6, you kind of come to the end of Paul's instructions. And now, in Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, he begins to talk about some various people. And when you see a name like this name here, Tychicus, T-Y-C-H-I-C-U-S, Tychicus, it's a Greek name. The Greek word can mean several different things. One of the meanings is the word chance. And it's kind of funny, we still have people today who are named Chance, but there are two other meanings that go along with it, and they kind of go together. It comes from a root word, which means to master something or to hit the mark. In fact, I wonder if we don't get the word tick somehow, tick mark, from that same Greek word. I don't know for sure. I didn't study that. Didn't do the etymology on that word, but I did on Tychicus' name. And it means to hit the mark. Now, you probably have never heard about Tychicus. Anybody here ever heard about Tychicus? Anybody can tell me five things about him? Probably not. And yet, this man is talked about over and over and over in the New Testament. And I'll tell you some of the places, and I will look at some of these. He's mentioned in the book of Acts. He's mentioned in the book of Ephesians. And remember, Ephesians and Colossians go together real well. He's also mentioned in 2 Timothy and in Titus. Now, if I was to ask you, what did he do? Even after studying him, I really can't say. I can tell you some things about him, but when it comes to accomplishments, there's not anything enormous. But you'll see some things about him that would be good attributes for you and I to desire. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but one of those is his availability. Is he was willing to be in places and to be available to go to places on behalf of Paul and on behalf of the Lord. And that cost him something. He didn't stay in one place. He was moving around and he had to be available to do that. Let me just read these couple of verses here and then I'll have a word of prayer. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." Let's just stop right there and have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us for ever doubting your goodness, for ever doubting your will, forever doubting your mercy or your grace. Lord, forgive us for that. God, tonight, as we look at this fellow named Tychicus, we see very little history about him. We don't see a whole lot about him as far as to where he was born or where he died or what kind of work he did, but we can see some great attributes that are just a blessing to us. I pray we would seek to have those attributes in our lives as well. We realize that we don't have to have a special place with a special job. Just being faithful is a special thing today. Very, very few people like that anymore. I pray that you'd bless us tonight as we open the Word of God and then our time of prayer to follow. And I pray for folks that are not with us tonight, wherever they may be, that you'd bless them, care for them, bring them back to us safely, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, keep your finger in Colossians chapter 4, and let's just kind of look at some of these verses on Tychicus, and I'm going to draw some conclusions from some of them. Go back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. It's the very first time he's named, and of course, the book of Acts is a book of history written by Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and in Acts chapter 20, Paul is in Ephesus, and the people, the use of the word in verse 1 in chapter 20 is the people had an uproar. The colloquial thing would be to say they threw a fit. They were angry, and they were riled up by some men that were afraid that Paul's preaching was going to cost them their livelihood because they were making idols to this goddess named Diana. And Paul said, Diana is no goddess, amen? Diana is nothing. And they didn't like that. And so there was an uproar. In verse 1, it says, after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And so he's heading up into the area called Greece that we know as Greece, northern Greece. And when he had gone over those parts and given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him in Asia, into Asia, Sopater of Berea and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. What a great group of men. Would like to spend some time studying all those sometime. But Tychicus is in this company that includes men like Timothy, and they're traveling with Paul. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, right there at the end of the chapter, in verse 21, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writes, and he says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. And then in verse 24, he says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And then the postscript to the book of Ephesians says, to the Ephesians written from Rome by Tychicus. Realize the postscripts are not inspired, but they are informative. And so Tychicus had to have been in Rome in order to have written this. And he also was a delivery man, as you know, from other letters. Then in chapter 4 of Colossians, we've already looked at verse 7. In verse 18, it says, the salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be unto you. And then the postscript to the book of Colossians says, written from Rome to Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. And so again, he's a writer. He's there with Paul. Paul was in prison in Rome. And then 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you got to go past Colossians, but we'll come back, so keep your finger there. This is a little bit less exciting reference, but certainly valuable. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and in verse 12, Paul says, Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus, and then keep going to the next book, Titus, and go to chapter 3. And in Titus chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come to me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. And he's writing, of course, to Titus at that point in time. Now go back to Colossians, and let's just see a few things about Tychicus. He was a man of Asia. Of course, Asia is a big area. He's mentioned in the Bible, you know, we've got a total here, counting those two postscripts, of 7 different times. And he's a traveler. You see, a lot of times when he's on the move, he travels with Paul from Greece to Macedonia to Troas. He was probably present when Eutychus fell from the upper window and Paul raised him in chapter 20 and verse 9. When Colossians was written, Paul was in Rome in prison and Tychicus was there with him. We see that. So this is a man that found being a blessing to Paul, a priority in his life, so much so that he was not at his home. He was not able to have a job, for example. I'm sure he did some work to provide for his needs, but he put the ministry first, and he was reliable enough that Paul could count on him and send him places. Just simply stated, and I think about this myself all the time, if we're going to be available to God, we have to be detached from the world. Now, what does that mean? Here's the question. What would you not be willing to give up in order to serve God? And I'm talking about things that we might ought to give up. For example, would you be willing to give up your home and go somewhere else if God said to? Ought to be, amen? Would you be willing to give up your job if God said you need to give up that job and go serve God somewhere else? Would you do that? I've known people, for example, that there were some folks in Pennsylvania, and a man was starting a church in northern Maryland, and they literally relocated just to be part of that church plant. They were church members that went with him to get the church going. We've got to be very careful. If you have a problem in hanging on to things that God might ask you to let go of, don't be surprised if he asks you to let go sometime. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. We've all had some things we've been very fond of. Some people, for example, have given up a career, maybe to go into the ministry, to be a missionary. And all I can say to you is this. If you have something that you're not willing to give up, I want to remind you, God can replace it with something better. If you have something that you're not willing to sacrifice for the Lord, that's called an idol. And God has a way of tearing down idols. Be very careful with that. Now, God gives us our jobs, amen? God gives us our homes. God gives us our possessions, our positions. He gives us our families. But we ought to be willing, if God were to choose to take something from us or ask us to sacrifice it, we ought to be willing to give it up. The devil's not stupid. The devil knows that. And so what the devil's going to try and do is get you attached to some things that keep you from serving God. You know, someone says, I can't serve God. I have to. Sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's not. And Tychicus was the kind of fellow that said, here I am. What do you need for me to do? Where do you want me to go? And he was not attached to the things of this world. His attachment was to the ministry, to the Lord, and to God's servants. So much so that again and again, Paul talks about him being sent places. Now, that's his connection. He was not connected to the world. Here's his commentary. In other words, just some simple comments about him that surely jump out. And you can see these in Colossians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 6 as well. First of all, he says he is a beloved brother. A beloved brother. We ought to be able to say that about everybody. And everybody ought to be able to say that about us. If you're a lady, you're a beloved sister. But they ought to be able to say that about us. Amen? There are some people that are easier to love than others. Let's be easy to love. Amen? Let's be available. Let's be friendly. Let's be supportive. Let's be available like Tychicus was. I got to say, I think one of the reasons that Paul found him beloved is because of the fact that he was willing to help. If you just go to somebody and they continually say, no, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. It's kind of discouraging after a while. You feel like you'd like to have somebody that would help you a little bit. He was a man, this is interesting, he was a man that was worthy to love and a man that was willing to love. And we ought to love everyone, we know that. We're commanded to love one another. But Tychicus, I just think of somebody as especially easy to love and someone that was a brother and not just in word or in name, but also in action. This next phrase, and I'm looking at Colossians 4, 7, he says he is a faithful minister. What does the word minister mean? Servant, right? The minister is someone who conducts ministrations or someone that serves other people. And he's a faithful minister. Now, let's think about that word faithful here for just a minute. You have the best illustration that I can think of for faithfulness is teeth. And I haven't done the math for this lesson, but I've done it for others, and so I'm working from memory. I won't do the math in my head again, but I'll tell you this. If you think about how many times you chew every day, it's in the hundreds, undoubtedly, right? And then if you think about doing that for 365 days, now you're up into the tens of thousands. Let's just use, for easy math, 50,000 times you chew every year. And then let's say you live 10 years. That's 500,000 times. Let's say you live 20 years. That's a million times. Let's say I've got teeth that have been in my mouth for over 40 years. That's millions of times those teeth have bitten down. How many times do you hope they break? Zero. And most of the teeth in my mouth have kept that track record. A couple have not. I have this, not that you care about my teeth, but every time I go to the dentist, this dentist, he looks back in the back of my mouth and he says, I had a tooth back there with a crack right down the middle of it. And he says, but don't worry, the one opposite of it's gone because that one broke and they had to pull it out. They couldn't fix it. And so there's nothing for the other one to hit. And it cost me exactly 5% of my chewing capacity. Hadn't heard a thing. Amen. And, but that poor tooth back there is not faithful anymore. But you expect your teeth to be faithful. Amen. Now, you think about your joints, like your bones, your ankles. How many times do you take steps? Or the joints in your fingers, how many times do you pick something up? And if you have arthritis, you can appreciate how important it is to have faithful fingers or to have, if you walk a lot, how important to have your ankles to be faithful. And the millions of times that they do their job during a lifetime, and most of them never fail. We get older, some of them begin to fail, but most of them are very faithful. Amen? That's what faithfulness is. Faithfulness is always being there. Amen? I don't want my tooth to ever break. I don't want my ankle to ever break or give away. I don't want my fingers to ever seize up. I want them to always function. That's faithfulness. As a servant of God, are you faithful? I'll tell you something that's a great blessing. It's a great blessing when someone always comes to church. Amen? Amen. It's a great blessing when someone always does what they say they're going to do. It's a great blessing when people always pray. When it's a great blessing. I had an apartment one time when I was in college, and I was lived there for about a year and a half. And I went to check out and to move to another apartment complex. And the manager said, "You've been a great tenant." And I said, I don't understand. I said, we've never even talked in 18 months. And how do you know I'm a great tenant? She says, oh, no, no. She says two things. You always paid your rent and we never had any trouble with you. You're a good tenant. Just the little things of being faithful. Just do what's right. Folks, we need to work on that. Amen. Faithfulness. It is very important. And Paul, he can't lie. This is scripture, right? He says this man's a faithful minister. He's dependable. If you said, Tychicus, take this letter to Colossae, he didn't have to wonder. I wonder if that letter's going to get there or not. Now, here's an interesting thought. He's actually part of God's preservation of his word. What if Tychicus, on the way to Colossae, had decided that the trip was just too bad and just stuck the letter in his personal papers and gone back home and forgot the whole thing? Then you wouldn't have the Colossians, would you? You wouldn't have that letter to the Colossians. No, God used Tychicus because he was faithful. And God, by the way, preserved his word. We have every book. We're not missing anything. Amen? No question about that. So the commentary, he's a beloved brother. He's a faithful minister. And then this last one, don't overlook this. He says he is a fellow servant in the Lord. A fellow servant in the Lord. Paul was a servant. Paul was willing to endure hardship and to keep on serving and to keep on going. And folks, just to say it plainly, it's nice to be able to look around and see some other folks doing the same thing. Amen? Faithful fellows that keep on going. Now, those of us that have been in the military might appreciate that more than any other illustration I can think of, is it was always nice to know that the guys that were with you were going to be there. And they weren't just there. They were there doing their job. Amen? And that's what we ought to be, fellow servants for one another. Now, again, I don't really see a whole lot of big things that Tychicus did. I mean, he writes these letters down. He takes them where they're supposed to go. It's pretty common skills. He could write. That's a good thing. And he could travel. That's a good thing. And he's obviously got a good character. But he's just a man that was serving God with what he had. That's good. If you think about when you stand before the Lord one day, maybe he never asked you to do anything big. Maybe he just asked you to be faithful in a lot of little things. I can tell you, as a pastor, the little things make a big difference. And faithfulness makes a huge difference. Dependability, someone that you can count on, they're not going to be. There won't be a, I wonder where so-and-so is, or I wonder why so-and-so didn't do what they said they would, or I wonder, that wasn't Tychicus. He wasn't that way at all. In fact, I'm really leaking over into my third point, which is his character. I'm almost done. Be patient, please. He did not get credit for any great deeds, but he was reliable enough that Paul would trust him to deliver the epistle to the Ephesians and the Colossians to their destination. And he was willing to go. Paul could send him places. He was available. He was also around enough that he knew Paul's affairs. He wasn't just there once in a while. He knew enough that Paul could say, when you get to Colossae, tell the Colossians about me. And Tychicus knew Paul well enough to do that. When you get to Ephesus, tell the Ephesians about me. Tell them how I'm doing. Tell them what's going on. And then, this is a little bit of an overextension, but I'll go ahead and say it anyway. In verse 9, it says, with Onesimus. And the thought there is that Tychicus is working with Onesimus. And thus, here's the thing. He could work with other people. He had the ability to work with somebody like Onesimus. Now, we know some more things about him that I won't mention right now, but if you want to know about Onesimus, read Philemon. But Onesimus and Tychicus could work together. And folks, we need to work together with each other, amen? And hey, guess what? You know, I found out there's nobody perfect, including me. And so if you work with me, you're going to work with somebody who's imperfect. Brother Mendez says, amen. But that's okay, because you're not perfect either. But we have an important job to do, and we work together. We don't expect perfection. If you expect perfection, you're in the wrong planet. That's not going to happen here. We work with fallible people, and we do the best job we can to get the job done. And Tychicus, I think, was doing that. And then his capability. And I look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 8. And look at this. This is a capability we all wish we had. He says in verse 8, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose that he might know your estate. But look at this. And comfort your hearts. Huh. Apparently, Paul thought Tychicus had the ability to comfort those folks. Let me ask, do you and I have the ability to comfort other people? Now, honestly, there's a number of ways to comfort folks. You can be a direct blessing. You can meet a need. That's comforting. But you can also be an encouragement. I used to, when I was in college, I got out of shape, and then I had to go to this army camp, and we had to run and run and run and run and run. And I've been in good shape in my life, but I wasn't then. And I'd start to fall behind. And they would send a couple of guys back to help me, and they weren't being mean. They were trying to encourage me. Come on, you can do it. Come on, keep up. Come on, it's okay. You'll make it. And just keep me going. And then I've done that for folks as well when I was in good shape and they weren't. Can you comfort people? What if somebody's just hurting? Do you just avoid them because you don't want to have to put up with it? Or do you try to comfort them? Is this working? Understand? If somebody is doing great, maybe they don't need comfort. But maybe you don't know. Maybe they do. And you just encourage folks. Hey, you're doing a good job. I was really saddened by that event that transpired on that airplane. What was that, yesterday? And I think about that lady, and you know the story maybe more than I do. I just read part of it, but engine blew up, broke the window, rapid decompression. She gets pulled up into the window, and immediately two men came to her rescue and tried to save her life. And they were unsuccessful at saving her life, but they did keep her inside the airplane, and they did comfort her. And if you were dying, you'd want someone to comfort you. Amen? If you were suffering, you'd want someone to comfort you. I used to, when I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be an ambulance driver, and I was training to be an ambulance driver. And they told us, they said, when you come to an accident and you see somebody and they're really messed up, don't walk up to them and say, wow, you're really messed up. They said, don't do that. Go to them and comfort them. Just encourage them. We're going to take care of you. We have professionals here. We're going to get you to the doctor. We're going to do the best we can to help you. Don't make false promises. Don't tell them that everything's going to be perfect. They know better. But encourage them that there's hope. And folks, when we have the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we have hope?
Amen.
Say, wow, Pastor, you don't know the situation. Ah, I know the Lord. Amen. He knows the situation. And he, if he can calm the sea, and if he can feed the 5,000, and if he can raise the dead, and if he can heal the blind, and if he can cure the leper, I think he can probably handle our situation, don't you think? That's comforting. You know, I think Tychicus was just a fellow that would teach people to trust the Lord. We should do the same thing. We can get discouraged. We can look at the circumstances and go, oh, boy, that's bad. Well, we should look up at the Lord. Amen? And teach others to do likewise. He was somebody that was able to comfort. I hope we are as well. And he was a reliable, faithful, available, willing, ordinary fellow. Let those things be said of us. Amen? Because the truth of the matter is, it's not any ability that we have that gets the job done. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?